Today's scripture is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Familiar verses that none of us have mastered. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Morning, everybody. We're continuing our journey through the Lord's Prayer, and we're at a transition point this morning. The first three statements of this prayer are really focused upward. Father, hallowed or holy be your name. May your kingdom come. And now there's a shift more to us. And to be clear, it's us in relation to God above. But give us each day our daily bread, which is our focus for today. And forgive us as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. It's also a transition point between that statement, may your kingdom come, God, and give us our daily bread. Your kingdom come is a really lofty prayer. You know, we're calling down God's rule. We're calling down God's love, God's presence in this world. And we're shifting those lofty, big prayers to really down-to-earth daily requests. Give us each day our daily bread. Just praying that God would be enough for us today. It raises the question when we just pray for our daily needs, like what is acceptable? What can I pray for as far as our daily needs? I'm reading this book by Tyler Statton, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And he tells a story where he's driving with his mother-in-law. They go to the mall after Christmas. And she prays out loud, Jesus, help us to find a parking spot. And it kind of, I don't know if you've ever experienced whether you should pray these prayers or someone else, but it made him think, like, is that okay to pray that? You know, there's people starving and all these big needs. Can we pray for a parking spot? But it just gets us thinking about just in everyday situations, what kind of prayer life, what kind of connection do we feel with God? So Tyler Statton says we should pray those big kingdom prayers. We should pray that there's an end to global hunger. But we should also say grace, be grateful for that bowl of spaghetti in front of us today. I'm changing some of his examples for us today. But we can pray for justice for factory workers in the fashion industry or the garment industry in Asia. But we shouldn't forget to pray for that young person behind the cash register at Sheetz who maybe is working two jobs to make ends meet or to support the family. And he talks about we can be the judge of those parking space prayers, being sure that we know the priorities of an incomprehensible God. But when we do that, our spiritual life is suffocated and restricted, while the people praying those parking lot prayers sees a God who's ever involved, interested, and present in our daily life. So we want to think a little more today just about our day-to-day living and our prayers to God that he would provide and he would be enough. But first, I just want to talk a bit about the power of asking. In this scripture where Jesus teaches this prayer from Luke 11, he goes on to talk more about making requests. He gives that example of knocking on your friend's door in the middle of the night. You know, friend, give me 3 loaves of bread. I have a visitor and I really need to be hospitable. But then Jesus goes on to say, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Just this sense of living a life of asking. And it got me thinking, I'd like to reflect more on this, so I Googled TED Talks about the power of asking. And I found one, and these talk about the willingness and the vulnerability to ask of others. The one TED Talk was by this street performer. And she would, she had her livelihood was to, and really to ask. She would present herself often as a bride in white, just as a statue with a basket there. But she went on to be part of a band. And when they went touring, they would just put out requests on Twitter to the towns that they're traveling to. Like, does anybody have a piano that I could use to practice? And she'd get an invitation. Come to our house. You can practice on the piano, and then we'll give you a nice homemade meal. She was feeling sick, I think, in Australia. Does anyone know where I can buy a neti pot in this town? And a nurse brought one over and talked to her about health, and they talked for hours about life. You know, we need a place to stay. All wherever they went, we need a place to stay. Can anybody put us up for a few days? And they'd always find somebody who would be willing to do that. And she'd say, when you connect with people, when you have that connection, they want to help. She found the power of asking. There's another guy this is more of a business thing. He had a fear of rejection. So he found this, like a course on the internet where for 100 days, I think, you would just ask questions of someone where there's a high probability you'd be rejected. But it would teach you to deal with rejection. So like the first one was walk up to a stranger and ask if you can borrow $100. So he went up to a security guard. Hey, can I borrow $100? The guy said, no. And he just walked away, like, again, rejected, his biggest fear. But he began to learn that maybe he can begin to engage people more. You know, he went up in McDonald's, can I have a burger refill? And again, like, what are you talking about? And, but it got to the point where he began to kind of engage them back and forth and ask questions. He went up to a house and said, can I plant this flower in your garden? And the guy said, no. But he stuck with it. He no longer ran away. He said, why not? And the guy said, well, you know, my dog's just going to dig it up. But Nancy across the street would love it if you'd make that offer, you know. And so he went to Nancy. She loved the idea, and, you know, it was a good interaction. But again, just being vulnerable, asking, trusting in our relationships, whether it's to people or to God, opens the door for deeper things, deeper connection, relationship. Dallas Willard, I've been quoting him from The Divine Conspiracy, and he reflects a lot on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7, also Jesus there is teaches, ask, seek, and knock. And it's in this whole section of Jesus' teaching where he's talking about refraining from judging, from condemning, from demanding. Just before this teaching, there's Jesus says, don't throw your pearls to the pigs. And we could interpret that like, don't bother with those people. But that's not Jesus to say, don't bother with those people. The teaching is more, don't try to force something upon someone who's not ready to receive it. You know, a lot in this section about demanding, coercing, condemning, judging, rather than asking. A request, Willard says, a request unites people. A demand separates people. And so our questions, whether we're requesting something of someone, we're seeking further understanding, we're asking for help, we're asking, would you consider this alternative? In all those ways, as we become vulnerable to people and open to people, it tends to unite us and lead to deeper things. Likewise, when we engage God with our asking, with trust and with vulnerability. Dallas Willard says, prayer simply dies from the effort to pray about good things that honestly don't matter to us. We know they're good. We should pray for them, but that's really not on our heart. The way to get to meaningful prayer, he says, is for those good things, towards those good things, is to start by praying for what we're truly interested in or what truly is on our heart. And the circle of our interests will inevitably grow in the largeness of God's love. But begin to pray simply for those things that are on our mind and on our heart. Begin to lift those up in trust to God. And when we ask of God, it's showing our trust. I'm going to lift this up. I'm going to entrust this to you, God, knowing that we're in a relationship with a God who listens and who cares for us. You know, Jesus' examples are a child who asks his father for a fish or for an egg, trusting that that parent is going to answer. A friend going to another friend's house asking for bread, trusting that that friend is going to meet his request. That woman who put out those requests on Twitter about her band, she called it couch surfing to find a new couch to be in every night. She also said in her band she would do crowd surfing, where you just dive into the crowd and trust that they're going to catch you. When we lift up our prayers to God, rather than withholding them or not being aware of God's presence, we're entrusting life to him. But it's also empowering as we entrust our prayers to God, believing that I actually can influence God. I can speak to God about these things. Tyler Statton talks about, reminds us from Exodus 32, where God's really angry with the Israelites. Moses comes down off the mountain. They're worshiping this golden calf, and God is furious. And Moses pleads with God. He puts up this request to God, please turn from your fierce anger. And the Lord relented. When we ask, we very well might influence God. Dallas Willard, again, on this topic says, God doesn't pretend he's answering our prayers when he's only going to do what he's going to do anyway. You know, our requests, he says, do make a difference when we lift them up to God. Aristotle called God the unmoved mover. He's the mover and shaker of everything, but you can't move him. God's going to do what God's going to do. Tyler Statton suggests that our prayers can actually move the mover. We can speak to God from our hopes and our needs. And so I just want to think a little bit more about praying for our daily needs. And what does that look like? You know, the example here is food. That's clearly a daily need. And some people really are in search to make, don't have enough day-to-day food. That Matthew passage that Neil read, also clothing clearly is another need, shelter. One of the days that I was reflecting on this and preparing the sermon, I remember lifting up a prayer in the midst of it saying, God, I don't fully understand how I can make application of this scripture for the sermon in a meaningful way. That's a daily need I had. That afternoon, doing my therapy work, I remember lifting a prayer up, God, I really need to hear from that doctor who's going to give clarification about this patient. You know, please allow that to happen, that connection to happen. So think about other things you might pray on a daily basis, just simple things, believing that God is right there with us. Help me to find my keys. Please give safe travel to myself or my friends or family or traveling back from Hong Kong. Or help that mother and child who are really struggling in the grocery store. Just may there be some peace in the midst of that. I feel anxiety washing over me right now. God, please bring peace to my heart. I'm in the midst of a conflict or an argument with a friend at school. Help us to work through this. I'm feeling temptation in this particular way. Please take that temptation away from me. So you could probably add a lot of things to that and maybe reflect on that this week. How involved are you in just these daily requests, believing that God's walking, through the day with you and you're trusting him. So just a couple of thoughts. When we pray like this, it moves us from worry or anxiety towards security. You know, again, that Matthew 6 passage, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at how God's taking care of them. Surely God will take care of you. And so seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Which could raise a question. You know, I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness. And everything else, all these daily needs are going to be taken care of, apparently, from what the scripture says. So does that mean I don't need to pray for them? You know, I just worry about seeking the kingdom. God's going to take care of the rest. But what I think this is teaching is don't worry about these things during the day, but ask about them. You know, put these requests before the Lord. Paul says to the Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Okay? Don't spend your day worrying or being anxious about these things. Wherever you're anxious or worrying, lift them up to God in prayer. And we begin to have more and more of a sense of security of God's provision for our lives in every way. Also, contentment. There we go. Just praying like this gives us a sense of enough. I have enough for today. My God is faithful. It might seem being given an invitation to ask. We just might go wild asking for anything and everything we want and need. But actually, as we begin to practice this, we develop more of a sense of, I trust you, God, that today you will provide enough for me. I just have that security and that contentment that what you have for me today will be enough. Kind of like reflecting the manna in the wilderness. Today, God, you're going to provide what we need, no more, no less. I'm not going to collect more because it's just going to rot. Just give me what I need. Or that sounds amazing. Lord, I just trust that you will provide for me what I need in that manna for today. And again, Paul, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, I've learned what it means to be content. I know what it is to be needy. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, each and every day. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I trust God, you will be enough. I'm content as I walk with you today. And then, which kind of leads, these all kind of cascade forward, leads us to a sense of gratitude. You know, when we begin to have this greater and greater sense that God is faithful, that God is enough, then I begin to be grateful for what he offers to me each and every day. Going back to these prayers throughout the day, it brings us back to that truth that God is the provider, that God's the giver of every good and perfect gift from above. You know, that I'm grateful for what God is providing me for me. I lift up my gratitude throughout the day, and I can even say thank you in advance for these things that I'm praying for. So there's one more. And I just want you to think, and whoever can answer this first gets this soup mix, confetti chili. If you have a sense of security through these prayers, which leads to a sense of contentment and enough, you begin to be grateful more and more for how God has provided for you. What's that going to lead to next? Anybody want to call it out if you think you know what would seem to be next? Joy? Okay, enjoying it. That's not what I was thinking, but makes sense. Generosity. Yes. That soup was donated by the children's choir. No, I'm just kidding. It's paid for. when we feel secure, when we feel like we have enough, when we feel increasingly grateful for what God has provided for us, we begin to then turn outward with our generosity. First of all, in prayer, not only praying for our needs, but beginning to pray for the needs of other people around us. But then also our generous actions begin to come forth because of just how we feel like God's been so gracious to me. I have enough. I don't need to hold on to these things tightly that I have. I don't have a sense of insecurity that there's no way I can give anything to anyone else. We become very generous. And so I want to close with this quote. This is again from Tyler Staton in Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Just as a sending challenge. He says in our prayers, especially these prayers, like give us each day our daily bread, ask vulnerably with enough specificity that God has the chance to disappoint you or surprise you. We can easily throw up generic prayers that aren't very specific and they're safe. You know, somehow God will answer that. He's challenging us in that statement to vulnerably, specifically ask for things, knowing that God might surprise us or bless us in that. Maybe we'll feel disappointed in the way things turned out, but we're looking at our lives in particular and entrusting it to God. Just reminds me of what we might say about love. You know, if you really love someone or love something, you just you give your whole heart to it. You might get hurt and you'll be blessed, but we would say it's worth it to love deeply in all the hurts and all the blessings. In the same way with our prayers, day by day, as we lift up our requests, ask specifically entrusting the stuff of our life to God. We may feel very amazingly blessed that God answered beyond what we were imagining. We might feel disappointed that that's not how I was expecting an answer. But it's demonstrating our trust in this God who is with us and carrying us and giving us life every step of the way. So this week may we, and onward, but especially this week as we reflect on this sermon, think about how each and every day we're offering up our concerns, our cares, our needs to the Lord. Amen.